Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center, here to meet your urgent and emergent medical needs, whether they are COVID-19 related or not. Medical emergencies happen when you least expect them. Whether it's a stroke, heart attack, illness, or injury, San Juan Regional Medical Center's caregivers are here to provide care to you and your loved ones. Find out more online at sanjuanregional.com.
Ten minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Tuesday morning, March the 2nd. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin, and thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM over the air here in San Juan County, New Mexico, 103.3 FM over the air in Durango, Colorado, and streaming everywhere from our website at ksje.com. Welcome also to our viewers who are watching this visual radio program today. It is streaming live to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. So we're glad that you are with us, however you found your way to us this morning. Welcome aboard, everyone. Coming up this morning, it is our monthly program about CHIC, the Community Health Improvement Council here in San Juan County. And this month, we're going to be talking a little bit about nutrition and buying local food and healthier foods and that and much, much more. That conversation begins in the next few moments right here on KSJE. And then, of course, later on this hour, it is Tuesday, so that means Adopt a Pet Tuesday. I'll be talking with Amber Francisco later on this hour from the Farmington Regional Animal Shelter. She will tell us about some of the dogs and cats, and take a look, even a parakeet available for adoption this week. So we'll give you all the details about that coming up later on this hour at 8:50 a.m. Next hour, of course, it's Roving with the Arts, our classical music program with Mick Hess, and it's Tuesday. Mick is continuing to share with us some of the Bach cantatas. He wrote a lot of them. In fact, this week we're going to hear Bach Cantata number 201. That's coming up on Roving with the Arts next hour here on KSJE. Don't forget, of course, you connect with us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and also our Instagram page as well. And of course, we always tell you that visual radio can take you places. Let's head over to the East Coast this morning. This is the Mad River Valley in Vermont, where it is snowy and cold this morning. Current temperature in Waitsfield, Vermont is 3 degrees this morning, but it's a pretty view from the warm radio studio where I am this morning. But that beautiful covered bridge and the frozen river and the snow-covered buildings there in Waitsfield, Vermont, it's 3 degrees. They're on their way to a sunny day today with a high of 19 and an overnight low of 3 degrees again tonight. Here in San Juan County, not quite as cold this morning, 26 degrees outside of our studios here at San Juan College. And so that is our forecast today. We are expecting, again, mostly sunny skies today with a high of 56 in Farmington, clear and 24 overnight. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and even warmer on Wednesday with a high of 63, but then maybe a chance of rain or snow showers Wednesday night with a low of 39, and maybe some rain or snow showers on Thursday with a high of 51. Before things clear out, and more warmer weather with highs near mid-60s by Saturday with a high of 64 degrees. Well, let me turn to my guest who is joining me this morning. Again, as I mentioned, part of our monthly commitment to CHIC, the Community Health Improvement Council. Athena Huckabee is joining me. She is the Community Outreach Coordinator for Ideal Options here in San Juan County, and she is joining me remotely this morning. Athena, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me on this morning.
You bet. It's great to have you here, and I appreciate you being with me to talk a little bit about Ideal Options and its involvement with CHIC, and as I mentioned, some of the other things that I know you've been very active in, which is about nutrition and healthy eating. But to get started, maybe remind all of our audiences about Ideal Options and the services that you provide here in the community.
Sure. So Ideal Option is a low barrier medication assisted treatment provider for people that are experiencing a substance use disorder. We treat mostly opioid use disorders, but we see people also for alcohol and also for polysubstance use disorder. I think one of the things that's a little different about our program is that we never run a wait list. We take walk-ins during all open hours, and we prioritize urgent community referrals. So you'll never call us to hear that we don't have an appointment for a week or two or four. We'll see you that day, usually the next day, if that's not possible.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what we do. And we're located at 2014 San Juan Boulevard in Farmington.
Very good. And folks may be thinking they have not heard of you or the organization because you're relatively new to the community. We talked, I think, a few months ago as you were just kind of getting unpacked here in the fall, correct?
Actually, we had opened, I believe, a little earlier than we talked. But yes, we haven't been in the community for a very long time. So certainly less than a year. We're definitely busier than when I was on the program the last time, but yes.
Very, very good. Well, and again, you mentioned the walk-in, which is, I think, a little bit unique with some of the service providers who do some of the work that you do. And so, again, folks can always walk in and talk to somebody and be seen when you're open for customers, right, for clients.
Yes, absolutely. We have two great medical assistants working there, and they will greet you at the door and go ahead and get everything started so that you can come in and start treatment with us. I also always like to say, even if people just have questions, you know, maybe they're on the fence and they're not sure, they want to check out what their options are, you can come into Ideal Option and meet with one of our certified addiction medicine professionals and talk it through and decide if it's something you'd like to start.
Okay, very good. Well, let's talk a little bit about the other topic that is on our list this morning, which is to talk a little bit about healthy eating and buying fresh and buying local. You have written an article recently for a local organization, and let's talk a little bit about that idea and the whole thing about buying local and buying and offering fresher food for families.
Yeah, so in addition to the Community Health Improvement Council, I participate in a couple of other groups in the community, the Mental Health Task Force and other groups that are meeting. And some of the other groups I participate in are the Buy Fresh, Buy Local group of Northwest New Mexico, as well as the Food Equity Task Force of Northwest New Mexico. And I can hear you thinking, what does drug treatment have to do with nutrition, right, or with food?
It's like you're reading my mind. You're reading my mind,
yeah.
Yes.
So I like to share a little bit about myself personally. I am a person in recovery myself. I have been in recovery since 2012. And when I first began my recovery journey, I actually found that I was nutritionally deficient. I went in for my first checkup after that, and I was anemic and also vitamin D deficient. And that's not uncommon for people that have entered recovery, that they may have some vitamin and mineral deficiencies from not taking care of their nutritional needs.
Interesting.
So,
and that
yeah.
can cause, I guess, other struggles, I guess, as you're trying to move into recovery, right?
Yeah. I mean, for example, being deficient in vitamin D can really have some impacts on mood and can affect the bones and other health things, you know, makes you more have a tendency towards depression, for example, people that are vitamin D deficient. Iron deficiency anemia can make you tired, fatigued, have other health problems. We know that people that overuse alcohol can experience vitamin B deficiencies. So, you know, I just started learning more about that and realizing that there were ways that I could be healthier. And for me, food and nutrition was a big part of my recovery journey, and I know I'm not alone in that. I've been discussing that with some other peers, one of whom actually runs a nutrition group on Facebook. So this is something that's talked about pretty frequently in the community, I think.
Interesting. And we haven't heard a lot about that whole connection, I don't think. Now, maybe some people have, and I have not. But between nutrition and recovery, and certainly we are aware that the body works in mysterious and amazing ways, and everything is interconnected. So it makes sense that some of these things would certainly interfere and interact with these other conditions that that a person is going through. And so with that, your work with these other organizations, the Buy Fresh, Buy Local organization, that's all about kind of promoting more of the farmers markets and buying food that has been grown nearby and not trucked halfway across the country into a supermarket when that option is available. Isn't that part of what their goal is?
That's absolutely right. You know, their website, which people can check out at buyfreshbuylocalnwnm.org, you know, states that their mission is to increase the viability of local farms and strengthen the local food system. And just like you said, you know, make access to farmers markets more easy for people. And yes, exactly as you mentioned, we have a lot of evidence that food that is not trucked halfway across the country retains not even more, not just more of its flavor, but also more of its nutritional value. So it's healthier. Also, by supporting the local economy, I would call that like an esteemable act, right? Buying fresh, buying local is something that we can feel proud of, and that increases our commitment to positive growth as well. So I would say that the benefits of local foods are myriad.
Very true. Well, and we saw some of that last year with the startup of the Food Hub, and I know folks were utilizing that as a way to kind of connect local growers to customers and offer kind of an easier way for folks to maybe order food and get food, local food that they wanted to get, in addition to the farmers markets, which have really kind of expanded over the past few years. And I now think that they're in most of the communities in San Juan County, or at least folks are within maybe a 30-minute drive at the most to get to a farmer's market, which I think is great in a state like New Mexico, which we have some really far-flung places, and it's kind of hard to get fresh food to everyone where we'd like it to go.
I think that's true, and I think the Food Hub is a really cool initiative that's happening. Another thing that many people might not be aware of is if they have SNAP benefits. Most of the farmers markets, including right here in San Juan County, have I can't remember the exact name of the program, but essentially for every dollar in SNAP benefits, you get $2 to spend at the farmers market. So that's meant to offset the fact that fresh local foods can sometimes be more expensive than what you find at the grocery store. So, you know, they've tried to take that into account and make it easier for people to afford those foods that want them.
Very true. And the term that comes to my mind is double up food bucks, but I don't know if that's the correct answer.
I think that's exactly it. I think
okay.
You're correct.
Let's hope that my brain is remembering that correctly. But that's something to certainly look into, again, when we get into the farmer's market season, which will be here before we know it, because here we are at the beginning of March. And I know, you know, the Food Hub and the local food growers groups have been talking to local farmers to try to get them ready for the growing season and talk about what the plans will be. And again, we're really trying to develop this whole ecosystem of having enough of a market to sell food and having enough farmers growing the food. And it really is kind of that supply-demand economics, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And some things that other communities have done might include things like I can't remember the word right now. I'm bad on words this morning. Shouldn't be. But when people pay up front if they can afford to, and then basically all that investment is made into the farmer, and then we reap the benefits through the harvest from the year. So like a farmer-supported food sharing program. There are lots of different options, but yes, and I think we're trying to be creative not only at the Buy Fresh, Buy Local group, but also at the Food Equity Task Force, looking at the ways, like you mentioned, for example, even a half-hour drive can be a barrier for some people. So how do we make the food system more equitable so that everybody that wants to participate in the local food system can?
Very true. Very true. And I know that there have been some work on a mobile farmers market, and I think that is maybe going to happen this summer to be able to take maybe some of the local growers' food out to some of these more remote locations to offer it for sale. But we'll certainly talk to the farmers market folks about that as we get closer to the markets opening. But talk to me a bit about that task force, as you mentioned, right, to try to get more local food into the hands of folks who need it, maybe some of the most needy in our communities and things along that line.
Yeah, so I'll just read you quickly their mission. They began meeting in 2019, the Food Equity Task Force, to build a just and equitable movement in food systems. So they're a grassroots coalition striving for an equitable Northwest New Mexico food system through action, education, and advocacy. And they explore equity along the entire spectrum of the food system, from producers to consumers. And if people are interested in participating, they can email nwnmfoodequitytaskforce@gmail.com, or also Christina Morris at christina.morris@state.nm.us for the Zoom link to join that meeting. I believe they're meeting every other week on a Thursday in the afternoon at this time.
Okay. Great. Thank you for sharing that. That's wonderful. And again, talks a little bit about what is going on in the local community with regards to local food. And we've been talking about that for a number of years here on KSJE. And so for you and Ideal Options, you're involved with CHIC, the Community Health Improvement Council, another group that meets monthly to talk about, you know, how to have a healthier community. And as we talk all the time about CHIC, that can involve anything from affordable housing to resources like Ideal Options to things like local healthy food. It really covers a lot of things, and really a lot of things that maybe we haven't been talking about, but it could cover as well to have a healthier community here in San Juan County.
Everything, I think, on the spectrum of health and wellness is up for discussion at CHIC. So certainly I would invite groups that maybe haven't thought of themselves as traditionally wanting to participate in a health council to come on down. There's plenty of room at the table for folks.
Which is great. And these days it's a virtual table.
It's a virtual table, correct. It's an imaginary table in
That's
our
right.
minds.
But Zoom is an amazing thing. You can add as many folks as you need to, I think, in most cases. And for an organization like Ideal Options, which is relatively new to the community, I think it's been helpful in networking and getting you in contact with other organizations and providers and learning more about what's available in our community and maybe what is not and what's needed in our community. Have you found that to be the case?
Absolutely. And I found the community to be so friendly and welcoming. I went down and visited the new mental health resource center across from the hospital. They're doing great work. People can walk in sort of anytime and get connected to resources in the community for any type of, you know, whether it's a substance use or a mood issue or, you know, depression or something else. So they're doing great work. And I've just, yes, been able to connect to so many great organizations and kind of brainstorm about how to fill gaps, right? The statistic that I like to say that's very widely true is that about 90% of people that need substance use disorder treatment in our communities don't get it. So how do we fill those gaps and make sure that people are getting to the services they need that are going to work for them?
Right. And Athena Huckabee, why would that be the case? Is it because we don't have those services available, or those individuals aren't aware of the services, or maybe a combination of the two?
I think it's a combination of the two. I definitely don't think it's lack of awareness, actually. I think it's stigma,
right.
Both personal stigma, right, as people in recovery ourselves, thinking that we should be able to get it the first time. I started trying to get sober in 2007 and didn't achieve that goal until 2012. But I think that's how it is for most people. I mean, whether we're trying to quit drinking, quit cigarettes, quit any other bad habit, it can take many tries before we get it right. And I think people, both families and individuals, can feel disappointed that we didn't get it right the first time, but we may need, you know, many opportunities.
That's really a good point, and I think it's important for folks to maybe hear that about to maybe be patient with those folks who are trying to get help and to encourage them and stay supportive of those individuals, right?
Absolutely.
Very good. And with Ideal Options, talk to me a little bit again about some of the things that you're able to offer to your clients that do walk in and do come out. I imagine maybe that is some of the things, too, that you work with them. And maybe you see them again, you know, down the road from time to time if they've had a relapse or need a little refresher?
Absolutely. We actually see people frequently. And that's one of the other things that I think is great about our program is that we do see that relapse is part of recovery. And so we would never kick somebody out of our program for a return to use episode. We would, that might be a reason to look more closely at their care plan and, you know, make a plan with them about how we might prevent that the next time, but certainly not a reason that we would tell somebody to leave our program. And yes, we usually see somebody the first time, see them back a couple days later, see them once a week for a while, and then maybe once every 2 weeks as they get more stable, and eventually down the road moving to more like once a month. So we do see our folks pretty frequently.
Right, which is great. And again, you mentioned that folks can walk in anytime, and you offer that service. These days when maybe people aren't doing a lot of walking in, but they can they call you if virtually walk in that regard to maybe talk to someone and get the same type of service?
Absolutely. People could certainly call our main line and talk to somebody in our call center, and we could set up a virtual appointment. That would be, just for a consultation. We do prefer to see people in person. I know that we're in a time of COVID, but everybody's masked up. We clean all of our surfaces really frequently. But I think that when people are in treatment for substance use disorder, it's really important that we get things like breathalyzers and urine samples just to ensure patient safety. So it's much better if people can come in, but certainly they can call us.
Understood. Well, and that's an important thing, too. And you're located, again, on San Juan Boulevard, 2014, I think, is the address you gave.
That's absolutely right, 2014 San Juan Boulevard. And our hours vary. Some days we're open from 12:30 to 4, and other days from, 8 in the morning until 2. So just check, you can Google, call, check the website just to make sure that people are coming down during hours that we're open.
Very good. Well, that's important to know. And Athena Huckabee, what's next? I mean, as we continue our conversation this morning, a little bit about, the connection, which fascinates me, between, food, healthy food, and recovery and dealing with substance abuse and things along that line, that there is definitely some correlation between not eating healthy or eating healthier and dealing with some of these other maybe effects of addiction.
Yeah, and I don't know what's next. There's been a lot of research in the area about that, even more in the area of functional nutrition, that eating certain foods can help us to replenish certain neurotransmitters and other items. So I don't want to get too in the weeds on it, but like you said, the body is a mysterious thing. And we know that supplementation can help people, but we also know that we absorb nutrients better through food. And that if we can improve our diet and eat as many fresh local foods as we can, then that's going to be beneficial to our health and supporting our recovery journey.
Most definitely. Well, and again, to have those options even available in a place like San Juan County or Aztec or Bloomfield or Kirtland or Shiprock is a step in the right direction for a number of different reasons, this being one of them.
I agree. I think it can really only be a benefit, and I think that it helps our economy. I think it helps our people. I think it helps us to return, sort of to being connected to the land in a way. Knowing where our food came from and who grew it is pretty neat. So, getting connected in that way is something I encourage people to do.
Right. Well, and again, it's really amazing when you start looking into it as how far some of our food is transported to get here when it could be grown in our own backyards or in our next door neighbor's backyards in a neighborhood farm or something like that. We're hearing more talk about community gardens and some of those other projects as well, which is all about the same type of conversation, getting healthier food into the hands of local folks, local kids, local adults, local seniors, all the above, right?
I think so, and I think that people that are concerned about food security issues as well. We saw with the, I don't know if you saw this in the grocery store, but with the big storms in Texas, it really interrupted some of the supply chains. And I went into the local grocery store and noticed that the shelves were not as full, right? So when we have our own things that we've grown, that we've canned or preserved or bought locally, that can also be helpful as far as making sure we have food security.
Very true. Well, that's a great point. And again, I know a lot of work is being done too to maybe talk about some greenhouses, some year-round growing seasons and those types of things. It takes investment, takes work, takes money, but to allow for maybe some of those year-round produce to be grown here in an area where you may not be able to grow things 12 months out of the year. But it's something that I know folks are working on, which is a great another great opportunity to buy local and eat healthier foods. And I know these organizations that you mentioned, Athena Huckabee, are working with the larger buyers of food, like the school districts, hospitals, and even maybe restaurants eventually, to be able to offer local food on their menus too. And that's all part of this ecosystem, right? This economy.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And so it's about access to fresh local foods is not even necessarily sometimes about the growers. It's the growers being able to have a market. And unless restaurants and schools and individuals are purchasing the foods, right, then there's kind of nowhere for it to go. And then the farmer is unsupported. So, yeah, I think make the food hub and, you know, making the whole economy aware of how and why to get it hooked into the local food system is really where it's at, right? It's not about just changing how we grow it. It's also about changing the food supply chains so that people can have access.
Exactly. Well, and that makes perfect sense to me. And it's almost, like I said, that supply and demand, right? The farmer wants to know that they can sell their food if they grow it and not going to have to throw a lot of it away or turn it into mulch or whatever else they do with extra produce. And the consumer needs to know that they'll be able to buy it, that there'll be enough will be produced to offer it throughout the growing season. So it is kind of that delicate balance of supply and demand every season.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And coming from I'm not a farmer, but my family have been farmers for generations back. My mother and her sisters, actually, when my grandmother passed, came into, they now own the family farm that's been in our family for five generations. We mostly grow corn. We used to be hog farmers back in the day, but even looking at how difficult it is for us in these times to decide to change to growing something different, or all of the barriers that are in the way for organic certification, or, you know, deciding you want to grow strawberries instead of corn is not an easy move, right? And so I don't know if people really understand from the farmer's perspective how difficult it can be. And this idea that, yes, if you grow the wrong thing, you have a crop failure, your crops don't get to market, that you can lose your livelihood. It can be very scary for our farmers.
Very true. Well, that's very true. Well, Athena Huckabee, I really appreciate you being with me this morning, talking about the work that you are doing with some of these local food organizations, and also, of course, Ideal Options, and the work that organization is doing in the community each and every day, and, of course, supporting the efforts of CHIC, the Community Health Improvement Council.
It's really a great honor to be able to participate in the community in this way, and I'm so grateful for Zoom for making things so equitable. So
very true. And again, Ideal Options, open for walk-in appointments, and you're located at 2014 San Juan Boulevard in Farmington.
That's correct. And we'd be happy to see you at any time. And we're easily able to be found at idealoption.com, where people can learn more about us and even make appointments.
All right. Excellent. Well, Athena Huckabee, thank you for joining me this morning. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
You bet.
A great morning.
You too. That's Athena Huckabee, my guest from Ideal Options, right here with me on our monthly commitment to CHIC, the Community Health Improvement Council, on KSJE. Back with more in just a moment, everyone. The time right now is 8:37. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.